Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Grandpa, read to you by Blue Friend. August 2016. Lesson 13. Who has not at some time or other wondered, what is the purpose of life on earth? Is it really necessary to have so much suffering, so much hardship? Actually, of course, it is necessary that there should be suffering and hardship and wars. We place too much store upon the things of this earth. We tend to think that there is nothing so important as life on earth. Actually, upon earth, we are merely as actors upon a stage, changing our clothes to suit the role that we have to play, and at the end of each act, retiring for a while to return to the next act, perhaps in different garb. Wars are necessary. Without wars, the world would soon be overpopulated. Wars are necessary in order that there may be opportunities for self-sacrifice and for man to rise above the limits of the flesh in the service of others. We look upon life as it is lived on this world as the only thing that matters. Actually, it is the thing that matters least. When we are in the spirit, we are indestructible. We are immune from hardships and from illnesses. Thus, the spirit, which has to gain experience, motivates a body of flesh and bone, a body which is but a lump of animated protoplasm, in order that lessons may be learned. Upon earth, the body is as a puppet, jerking and twitching to the orders of the over-self who, through the silver cord, commands and receives messages. Let us look at things in a rather different way for a moment, shall we? A person who comes to earth for perhaps the first time is a helpless creature, something like a baby, and he is not able to make any plans for himself. Thus, plans have to be made for him by other people. We are not concerned with those who are unevolved, for if you are studying the Course, it shows you that you have reached a stage of evolution in which you are able to plan more or less that which you have to learn. Let us look upon the scene before one comes to earth. A person, an entity, has returned to the over-self in the astral planes, has returned from one life on earth. The entity will have seen all the mistakes, all the faults of that life, and will have decided, perhaps alone, perhaps in the company with others, that certain lessons were not learned and will have to be undertaken again. So, plans are made whereby the entity will go down into a body once more. A search is made for parents who will afford the necessary facilities for the type of environment which is now required. That is, if a person has to be accustomed to handling money, he'll be born to rich parents. Or, if a person has to rise from the gutter, he will be born to parents in very poor circumstances indeed. He may even have to be born crippled or blind. It all depends on what has to be learned. A human on earth is as a child in a classroom. Think of it in terms of classrooms. A child is in a classroom with a lot of other children. For some reason, this particular child does not do so well, does not master the lessons, and so at the end of the term, he makes a very poor showing at the examinations. The teachers decide that on the basis of his general attitude and grades during the term, and the general mess that he has made of the examination itself, he is not fit nor ready to be promoted to a higher grade. Thus, the child goes off on the school vacation at the end of term with the unhappy knowledge that when school starts again, he's going to have to come back to the same old class. With the resumption of school activities, the child who was not promoted goes back to learn all the same lessons, to have another chance. But those who studied more assiduously go on and reach a higher grade, and perhaps are treated with more consideration by the teachers because these children are ones who have tried, who have mastered their lessons, and who have progressed. The one who was left behind feels self-conscious with the new members of the class. He tends to lord it over them for the time being, to show that although he didn't pass into the higher grade, it was because he didn't want to. If at the end of this term the boy does not show signs of progress, then it may be that the teachers will hold a conference, and they may even decide that the boy is of an inferior mentality and recommend that he be moved to a different type of school. If children at school are doing well and progressing satisfactorily through their studies, there will come a time when they have to decide what they're going to be later in life. Are they going to be doctors, lawyers, carpenters, bus drivers? Whatever it is, they will have to undergo the necessary studies. A doctor to be will need to study different types of things than would a bus driver to be. And in consultation with teachers, the necessary studies are arranged. So it is in the spirit world. Before a human is born, several months before he's born, in fact, somewhere in the world of spirit, there is a conference. The one who is going to enter into a human body discusses with advisors how certain lessons may be learned in much the same way as a student upon earth will discuss how he may study to obtain his desired qualifications. The spirit advisors are able to say that the student about to enter into the school of the world shall become a son or daughter of a certain married couple, or even an unmarried couple. There will be a discussion as to what has to be learned and what hardships have to be undergone, for it is a sad fact that hardship teaches one more quickly and more permanently than does kindness. It is also worthy of note that it does not at all mean that because a person is at present in a lowly position, that that person is lowly in the spirit world. Often, a person will be in a menial position in a certain life in order that specified lessons may be learned, yet in the life to be, the person may be a high entity indeed. It is unfortunate that upon earth a person is judged by the amount of money he has, by what his parents were, and this, of course, is tragically absurd. It is much the same as judging a schoolboy or his progress by how much money his father has, instead of judging the boy by his own progress. We repeat that no one has so far succeeded in taking a single penny beyond the barrier of death, but all knowledge is taken, every experience undergone is stored and taken away into the life beyond. Thus, those who think that because they have a million or so they're going to get a front seat in heaven are going to be sadly and unpleasantly mistaken. Money, position, race, and color do not matter in the slightest. The only thing that matters is the degree of spirituality. To return to our spirit about to enter into another incarnation, when suitable parents have been found, then, at the appropriate time, the spirit will enter into the forming body of the unborn infant, and with the entering into the body, there will become an instant erasure of the conscious memories of the life beyond such entering. It would, of course, be a terrible thing if the baby had a memory of when he was, perhaps very closely, very ultimately related to his mother or his father. It would be tragic and painful if the baby could remember that in the past life he was a great king, and now he was the poorest of the poor. For that reason, among many others, it is an act of mercy that the average person cannot remember his or her past life. But when they once again pass through this life and return to the spirit world, everything is remembered. Many people adhere most rigidly to the old statement, "Honor thy father and mother." While this is indeed a most laudable feeling, it should be made clear that many, many people upon earth will never again see their father or mother when they enter into the spirit world. In the old days, it was very necessary that the priests do everything possible to gain the cooperation of parents in order that young men and young women did not leave the tribes, because the wealth of the tribes in those days rested in the young people. The more numerous the tribe, the more easily could they overcome small tribes. Thus it was that the priests exhorted children to obey the parents, and the parents in particular obeyed the priests. Let us state quite definitely that we do indeed agree that our parents should be honored, provided they merit it. We also state that if a parent is overbearing or unkind or tyrannical, then that parent has rejected and spurned all rights to be honored. There is no need whatever for the slavish obedience which some children give to their parents. Some children are adult and married and have perhaps lived half a century on their own, yet they still tremble with fear or apprehension when the name of a parent is mentioned. Frequently it leads to a neurosis, and instead of commanding love, there is perhaps fear and ill-concealed hatred. Yet these children, perhaps half a century or more of age, feel guilt because they've been brought up in the belief that they must honor thy mother and thy father. For those so afflicted, we would like to say again, quite definitely, quite emphatically, that if you are unhappy with your parents, you will never see them again in the spirit world. In the spirit world, there is a law of harmony, and it is utterly impossible for you to meet anyone with whom you are incompatible. Thus, if you are married to a partner, and yours is a marriage of convenience, a marriage with which you are afraid to break for fear of what the neighbors will say, you will never again meet your partner in the spirit world unless he or she alters so radically, or if you alter, that you are both compatible. We must again repeat so that there is no possibility of misunderstanding. If you and your parents are incompatible, if you do not get on, if you are not happy together, if you are not suited to each other, then you will not meet on any other plane of existence. The same applied to relatives or husbands and wives. They must definitely be compatible and in complete harmony before they can meet again. This is one of the reasons why it is necessary for spirit to have a physical body, that lessons may be learned, because only in the physical body can two antagonistic entities be brought into contact so that they may try to smooth off the rough edges and reach mutual understanding. Later, in another lesson, we shall deal with the problems of God or gods and of different forms of religious belief. Humans mistakenly think that they are of the greatest form of existence. That's quite incorrect, and again, it is an idea fostered by organized religions. Religious thought teaches one that man is made in the image of God. Therefore, if man is made in the image of God, there can be nothing higher than man. Actually, on other worlds, there are some very, very high forms of life. God is not a benevolent old gentleman who peers at us kindly through the pages of some book. God is a very real thing, a living spirit who guides us all, but not necessarily in the way that we have been taught. Finally, in this lesson, think over your own relationship with your parents, or with your partner, or with your relations. Are you happy with them? Are you really? Or are you living apart? Could you contemplate living with any of these people permanently throughout the rest of existence? Remember when you were at school, there were a number of people in the class with you, and there were teachers. You had to pay respect to the teachers, but they are not permanently associated with your life. They were temporary measures, people appointed to supervise your education. Your parents also are people whom you have chosen, with their permission in the spirit world, to sponsor and supervise your development. If people sincerely love their parents, and not because some religious teaching tells them that they should, then they will indeed have the greatest joy of all in knowing that they will definitely meet their parents on the other side. Conditions on the other side will be what you here on earth make them. End of lesson 13.